We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Lori Rubenson here with you, and crazy week. The Giants had a bye, but the rest of the NFC East was active, and the Knicks, well, it was draft week, it was free agency week, it was everything nutty in the NBA. So to make some sense of the world, we bring in John Schmelk. He's a good source of knowledge on both the Giants with Giants.com, a reporter there, and with the Knicks as host of his podcast and our blog at WFAN.com. Hey, John, how are you?
Hey, Lori, how are you? Yeah, you can check out The Bank Shot, which is our Knicks podcast via WFN and radio.com. And I was very happy that the NBA was gracious enough to schedule the draft and free agency the weekend of the Giants' bye. So it actually worked out quite well for me.
That's true. I'm sure that's really what the schedule had to do with.
Oh,
they were like,
absolutely.
What would work for John? Let's start with a busy week in the NBA. The New York Knicks, as everybody knows, they have a new team president in Leon Rose, a new head coach in Tom Thibodeau. Then there's like World Wide West, and there's Brock Eller, and there's all these other, you know, kind of figures in this new front office. So in the past week, with between the draft and free agency, in a big picture sense, what did you learn, or what should Knicks fans take away about the new Knicks regime?
That they have a savvy front office that for the first time, I think, really thinks strategically about how they're going about things to build this team and trying to get them back to where they need to be. There's been no other Knicks regime since I've been alive that, you know, would have been able to acquire, you know, four second round picks without doing anything more than, you know, moving a second round pick back a couple years and taking on $5 million of salary in Ed Davis. You know, they stuck to their guns on certain players. They said, look, we're willing to give Gordon Hayward a 2-year deal or maybe even a 3-year deal at X number of dollars, but no, we're not paying him 3-4 years and $120 million. You know, we're willing to go a reasonable number for Fred VanVleet, but no, we're not going to max him out. Yeah, these guys will help us get better, but we have a set value for these players, and we're not going to exceed that value and panic if these guys don't come. And this was never going to be a free agent class, Lori, just because there weren't enough good players in it to bring the Knicks back to, you know, competitiveness and contention and playoffs this year. It just wasn't going to happen. The players were not available that would allow that big of a jump. And I think they realized that early, the Knicks, and they realized the best thing to do is to use your space now to collect assets, you know, push it back another year when you have a better free agent class in 2021, draft well. I think Obi Toppin is going to be a favorite for rookie of the year. I think he's probably the best offensive player in the draft class. Now his defense is a legitimate problem, and it could be one they can't overcome. That's possible. And they drafted Emmanuel Quickley, who can defend and is a good shooter. So I think a lot of what the stuff they did has a good argument for it to make sense, and you can see the long-term strategic thinking guiding their moves rather than some of like the hack-and-slash stuff we've seen from past regimes where they just do a lot of things and you can't quite figure out what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, this was certainly a more patient and, as you said, strategic approach. More of, you know, I think the conventional wisdom of what the smarter organizations around the NBA would say, all right, given where the Knicks are at, this is sort of the appropriate way to behave. On the one hand,
for example, do you have any doubt that if Steve Mills was a GM, that they would have traded for Russell Westbrook? He would have been on this team 2 weeks ago.
Right. They would have traded for Westbrook, and you know somehow to and given up draft picks in the process.
Of course.
So there was no knee-jerk reaction. There was no panic. There was no gross overpay and taking on long-term contracts that you're stuck with or any of this stuff. So we congratulate for that. But what do you say to the Knick fan? You know, what's the right timing to have expectations when we stop saying, all right, so they made it over a hurdle of not doing anything catastrophically stupid. And actually, there seemed to be some smart strategic planning to the offseason. At what point is it fair to start having higher expectations for this team being able to compete? When do you see that happening?
No, great question. And I think that's really a good bottom line question for the franchise. I think it starts next season. I never thought there was a pathway to get good this year, and I just think that's the way it was. You can't force it when it's not there. But look, next offseason, do I think the Knicks are going to get Giannis Antetokounmpo or LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard or Paul George? No, probably not. I mean, it's just the way it is. So, but they are only one of two teams, Lori, next year, them and the Spurs, at least as of today, that will have room to sign two max free agents. So they can be given two guys to team up and come here, maybe. Or if they can't, then they can't. But look, I realize Knicks fans, and I'm not suggesting that they're tanking or trying to lose, but I believe they're going to play the young guys this year. And the 2021 draft class is loaded. Cade Cunningham is, and Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, Zion Williamson type superstar at the top of the class. I've talked to people that do this for a living, and they've told me anywhere from 6 to 8 players in next year's draft class in the NBA would have been the, or could be, the top overall pick in this year's draft class, ahead of LaMelo Ball and Anthony Edwards and all those guys. That's how stacked of a class it is. So you hope you draft a really, really good player next year. I can't imagine the Knicks aren't going to be one of the 2 or 3 worst teams in the league. Now, does that guarantee with the new draft system that they're going to get a top 1 or 2 pick? No, but you maximize your chances that way, right? So you hope you get better that way. You hope next offseason is the offseason you make your move. I think that's the preference, because once you get past next offseason, you got to think about paying Mitchell Robinson and paying other guys on the roster. Mm-hmm. But I think either, you know, 2020, 2021, or the season after, that's when you can start thinking about making the jump. The way I look at it, Lori, real quickly, is that you have to get to a level of respectability organically with the players you draft and develop before you can start making these big moves. Like, for example, the Suns, right? Why were they able to trade for Chris Paul? Because they drafted Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Mikal Bridges. Why were the Hawks able to be so aggressive this offseason? Gallinari, Bogdanovic, all those guys. It's because they drafted Trae Young. So you got to get that for those first couple guys. You hope maybe R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson are one. Maybe Obi Toppin, maybe the guy they drafted in 2021. And if they can make that organic jump and they become more attractive, that's when you start making the moves. They're just not there yet.
Yeah, let's be fair. You look at the Nets. When you draft some players, you develop some players, then you become more attractive for free agents. So one free agent the Nets do sign, or talk about, you know, a few of the moves they made, Austin Rivers and others. What for the players that we'll see on the roster this year, anything stand out to you of somebody that you'd like to see or a move that you liked that they made in free agency? Or was it just about Ed Davis and flipping for second round picks?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the thing I like most about the guys they brought in are their contracts and their value. Like, Alec Burks, I think, is a pretty solid wing. We've seen Austin Rivers play, you know, real minutes for playoff teams. So these guys are real NBA players. I think Nerlens Noel is a, you know, perfect backup for Mitchell Robinson. They have the same skill set. I'm not thrilled with the Elfrid Payton signing coming back, but they didn't need a veteran point guard. You hope he, you know, passes to more people than just Julius Randle like he did last year. But, look, I think their contracts are what's best about them. I wouldn't be surprised if 3 of those guys are on the move again before the trade deadline for more future assets, to be quite honest with you, because their contracts are so reasonable. And they still, by the way, Lori, have almost $20 million of cap space left to absorb other contracts during the season if other teams want to cut salary or trade guys or whatever they want to do. So that's what gets me excited, though. I do think it's going to be problematic or at least a little bit difficult for Thibodeau to dole out these minutes. But the good thing is that these contracts are so small. If, you know, Elfrid Payton or Austin Rivers start mouthing off and they're unhappy about their minutes, they can just cut them.
Right.
I mean, they're on one-year deals for no money. They don't owe anything to these guys. So the Knicks are really free now to do whatever they want, play their young guys, develop them, give these guys some minutes as well, maybe get something for them at the trade deadline, and go from there. But I do think they got competent NBA players that hopefully will help develop the younger guys better than some of their previous additions.
Yeah, Austin Rivers, I guess the only one on a three-year deal, but at $10 million, I mean, that's three and a third, you know, per.
Well, and Maury, by the way, and the last 2 years on that contract are non-guaranteed.
Oh, so the
only guaranteed year in that contract is the first one.
Fantastic. So that's highly tradable, or as you said, cuttable. Either way, on that one. So let's shift over to the draft. And you know, in terms of the players the Knicks got, so you're talking about Obi Toppin, the forward from Dayton. He was player of the year, kind of a late bloomer. Emmanuel Quickly from Kentucky. And then the undrafted free agent, local kid, obviously, from Seton Hall, Miles Powell. In terms of those three players and minutes and, and what Knicks fans should expect, break them down for me.
Yeah, I'm sure the Knicks front office are trying to find ways to get rid of Julius Randle because I don't see how Julius Randle and Obi Toppin play together. They are just, I'm not going to say carbon copies, but they play the same position. They have the same role. So I think they're going to try to move Randle. I don't think they'll get anything of value for him, but try to trade him for a guy that plays a spot that maybe can help the team a little bit more. I think Toppin's the most NBA-ready, offensively polished player in the draft. I think he'll come and help right away. He can shoot it. He can finish. He can play pick and roll. Offensively, he's everything you want out of a power forward. Here's the problem. He can't guard a chair. A lot of people compare him to Amari Stoudemire, and I think that's accurate on both ends of the floor. Mm-hmm. He's probably not quite as quick and as athletic as Amari, but he's just as poor of a defensive player. So Tom Thibodeau needs to figure out how to either arrange his schemes to make up for his deficiencies or loosen up his hips a little bit so he guards a little bit better in space. He's a smart player. He works hard. You hope you can kind of help him that way, but he does not have a lot of lateral quickness, which is going to hurt him, though I do think him and Mitchell Robinson do work well together and match offensively and defensively, so I think that's good. There are a couple of the guys I like better. I would have taken Denny Avdija out of Israel. I think he's just going to be a really good NBA player, but I have about 12 guys I'd have been fine with the Knicks, if they would have picked him at 8, I would have been okay with it. He was like the 12th guy in the list, so it's fine. No one they could have picked at 8 was going to be perfect. They just picked a guy that was really good offensively and has a problem defensively. So that's what they wound up with. As for Quickly, look, the Knicks need a couple things. They needed shooting. The kid is a 90% free throw shooter, 42% three-point shooter, or 43% actually. He can shoot. He can also defend, and he gets the free throw line. So he filled a bunch of needs that the Knicks have late in the first round, so you got to like that. And the other thing you got to like, Laurie, in an offseason where, you don't have a lot of intel on these guys, you can't do in-person interviews, you can't do in-person workouts, Toppin's a CAA guy where Leon Rose came from, so he has all the knowledge he needs about him. And Kenny Payne, their assistant coach, coached Quickly at Kentucky last year, so they know a lot about him. So in a draft where there's a lot of unknowns, the Knicks pick two players that they're very familiar with. You hope they pick them for the right reasons, basketball reasons, not like nepotism reasons. But they did pick two guys that they know a lot about, which is a good thing.
Let me ask you, because I've seen there are a lot of people obviously getting snarky all over social media with the whole Kentucky Wildcat connection to the Knicks. And, of course, Leon Rose, the former agent from CAA and all the CAA between the coach and players on the roster. So question, is that a bad thing?
It's a bad thing if that's the reason they picked him. If they picked Toppin because, he's a buddy, Leon Rose's kid helps represent him at CAA and, he has a relationship, that's not why you draft people. But if they drafted him for basketball reasons and they have a lot of knowledge about these guys and that knowledge makes them believe that they're going to help the Knicks on the floor because they're great basketball players, and I think it's a good thing. And, those type of connections is why you hire some guys to help you, with your organization. You see that in the NFL all the time, Lori, where head coaches or general managers will, sign or trade for players from teams they were with previously because they're familiar with the players. Not necessarily a bad thing as long as you're doing it for the right reasons. We'll see. I mean, the proof's going to be in the pudding whether or not the Knicks did it for the right reasons or not.
So, of course, you're multifaceted. There's your Knicks work, but you also are a reporter for Giants.com. Crazy week, as you and I were talking earlier, you have NBA draft, you have NBA free agency, but we're in the middle of football season. So 2020, of course. But here were the Giants on a bye week, and how... Yeah, from your perspective, how did the Giants' NFC East playoff chances, evolve this week while they didn't play?
Well, it tightened. The Eagles lose again, and boy, Carson Wentz is just not playing good football right now. He's not. He's just making a lot of bad throws, a lot of bad decisions. But the Eagles are still in the driver's seat, and they have a half-game lead over the other three teams. Washington won today because Joe Burrow got hurt in the middle of that game. Dallas, I thought, had a really nice win against Minnesota. So it's pretty much anybody's division at this point, right? I think Dallas probably has the easiest schedule the rest of the way, but they've been more up and down. The Giants probably have the second easiest schedule, which is even easier now. They have Cincinnati next week without Joe Burrow. The Eagles probably have the toughest schedule. So, and the Giants have the tiebreaker against Washington, having beaten them twice. So I think the Giants have as good of a chance as any. They do not control their own destiny. Because if they beat the Giants the final game of the year, they have the tiebreaker against the Giants. And then, of course, Philly has a half-game lead. So they don't control their own destiny. They do need help. But honestly, I think if you get the 7, Maury, I think that probably wins the division. And I think if you get the 6, I think you might even have a chance at a tiebreaker scenario. That's really what you're looking at in the NFC East, which is just bizarre.
It's so 2020, and the NFC least. If I were handicapping right now, you have a Cowboys team quarterbacked by Andy Dalton back today, and suddenly that Dallas team looked competent. And then we've got Alex Smith, and suddenly, with a quarterback like Alex Smith there, Washington doesn't look so bad. They're looking somewhat competent. And you have Carson Wentz, as you said, falling apart with the Eagles. The Eagles have a half-game lead on everybody. But if I said to you, which team do you think, Eagles have a half-game lead, but the other two maybe have better quarterbacks, or I think definitely have better quarterbacks, which team would you be most nervous about and say is the biggest Giants competition for the division?
I think the division will be decided when the Giants and Cowboys play in the final game of the season on Week 17 at MetLife Stadium.
All right.
I think the winner of that game goes to the postseason. I think the Giants tiebreaker with Washington will be the difference there. And the way Philly's playing, Laurie, I got to be honest with you. Look, I've seen the Eagles do crazy things and turn things around. I don't see it right now the way they're playing. They've been getting healthier. They should be playing better. They're not. And their schedule is so tough. I have trouble feeling great about them. But I think the other teams are going to be in it till the end. And look, even if the Giants have a game lead on Dallas in that final game, if Dallas then beats them, they win the tiebreaker.
Right.
So I would be surprised if it's wrapped up by then in any way, shape, or form. So I think whoever wins that final game of the year between Dallas and New York, and you know how it goes, a lot of that's got to do with who's healthy, who's on the field. And I think that's going to be when this division is decided.
Any information that you have in terms of the Giants' COVID outbreak that hit them on the bye week? So I know, we saw that their kicker, Graham Gano, but in terms of and three other players tested positive for COVID, in terms of the of their punter, Riley Dixon, their long snapper, are those guys who tested positive, or was that just that they were in close contact with Graham Gano?
Yeah, the Giants have not announced that. They've been very, very private in terms of, for like HIPAA reasons, in terms of why guys are on the COVID list. And no one's been in that facility from a player and coach perspective, or me for that matter, since last Wednesday. We'll hear from Joe Judge for the first time since last Wednesday on Monday, and I think we'll have a clearer vision of exactly what's going on. I think the one thing that's been very encouraging from the Giants' perspective in general from the NFL, Laurie, and I'm in that building every day, so I see it, the procedures that are going on within the building that are in place, while guys might bring COVID-19 into these buildings, it does not seem to be spreading within the building. So you'll get some isolated cases, but it'll stop there because the guys are following the rules, socially distancing, wearing the mask and doing all those sorts of things and wearing their trackers for contact tracing. And I think it's been really encouraging that while obviously we're living in a country right now where, you know, there are cases everywhere, there has not been spread inside NFL facilities, which is why all these rules and regulations have been put in place. And I think that's been a really encouraging development with the league so far this year.
All right. John Schmelk, appreciate the time, the versatility. You're a double threat, Giants and Knicks, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Sounds good, Lori. Appreciate the time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.